For those listening to KSBN Money Talk Radio who might be interested in buying physical precious metals for less than what I can pay for them, stay tuned. I have a way you can support this show and secure what I believe is the best price for precious metals on the existing market. In our first commercial break, I will explain this in more detail. And now, let's get on with Reclaiming the Republic. Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. If you go to MobiusStripPress.com, you can find out how you can download these podcasts and find our support documents and links. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. For those who want to call in and enjoy the dialogue, make a comment, or have a question, the toll-free number is 844-320-4299. I will try to be a good, diligent host in providing that number more frequently through the hour. This is also an educational and grassroots program designed to restoring our republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the framework and scope of the Constitution. Many parts of these shows will refer to previous parts of the shows and other sections, and so they are tied together, which they build off of each other. Consequently, you'll need to keep up and listen to all of these shows, and so that's why we make these podcasts available for you so that you can stitch these shows together so that they make all the academic sense that you will need to have a intelligent argument when you're dealing with people that don't understand the Constitution. It also gives you the guide in how we can reclaim the republic. So don't forget to download the podcast at reclaimingtherepublic.org. I have a special announcement, and actually this is a last minute special announcement. And this kind of ties into some other pertinent information of current events and so forth. The special announcement is that the 7th District Legislatures are going to host a telephone town hall meeting, and that will be February 23rd. Senator Shelley Short, representative of Addy, and Representatives Joel Kretz and Jacqueline Maycumber will host a telephone town hall meeting on Thursday, tomorrow, February 23rd. The community conversation, which is similar to a call-in radio format, I don't know, if you listen to lots of call-in formats, you can tell me whether it's like one or not. But the lawmakers will take questions from 6 p.m., and I believe it's going until 7. So to participate for constituents, you can call 509-724-2970. Let me repeat that. And I will be posting this on reclaimingtherepublic.org and pertinent information on the podcast page later on tonight when I get this podcast uploaded. But once you're connected, then you can listen in and press star on the telephone keypad to ask questions. So you have to understand that. You have to hit the star if you want to ask a question. If not, you're just listening in. Participants can take part in answering poll questions, listen to their neighbors, and leave messages for lawmakers. This is a part of the 2017 legislation session, and which began on January 9th, and it goes until April 23rd. So if you want to understand what they're doing and some of the successes they've had, and they definitely want to get your comments, by all means, you want to participate in this. And this is for, again, the 7th District of Legislatures, our 7th Legislative District, I should say. And that is, again, Shelley Short, Joel Kretz, and Jacqueline Maycumber are representatives who represent us in Olympia. If you have a question, you need me to repeat that again. It will be on my website, Reclaiming the Republic, tonight after I get the podcast uploaded. It should be available either late tonight or first thing in the morning for you tomorrow. I also have a standing special contest because I'm still waiting for somebody to call in who can tell me what the constitutional significance for us regarding November 11th. So what's so special for us about November 11th in the Constitution? The person who can call and get this right, they're going to get a set of books autographed by me. It'll be my first and second book. My third book is not going to be published for a little while. Let me take a constitutional look at some recent events. As a matter of fact, the progressive organization Amnesty International has come out publicly and stated that Trump's poisonous rhetoric has made the world a darker place. The reason that they're taking this position is because we have decided to actually honor our boundaries and honor our borders. And I try to put this in the perspective that everybody has boundaries. Everybody has a known physical comfort level. And as a matter of fact, when somebody gets in your face, that's intimidation, and that actually can reach from assault to battery when somebody actually starts confronting you, spitting in your face, and so forth. So we acknowledge legally that you are entitled to your own physical space. We also acknowledge that you're entitled to the physical space around your house. You have locks on your doors. You can put a fence to protect your property. That is your property. That's the same thing with communities. Houses can be built into a gated community and have isolation and privacy from other communities and other people that don't belong there. It's the same thing with organizations, whether they be businesses and so forth, cities and so forth. Boundaries mean something. And so when a nation says we have boundaries and this is our line, and those people who live on this side of the line are what we consider our residents and our citizens. Those on the other side, we have a process for you to come here. So the progressive argument with Amnesty International and the rest of these progressive groups that want us to basically blur our boundary lines, they're only doing this and they're only making these ridiculous arguments just so that they can marginalize our electorate and get enough people in to literally overthrow the balance that we have. Because right now it's a pretty tight balance and it should be shifting more towards the right than it is the left. But that's because they're getting new recruits coming in that are illegal aliens and so forth. And you can see how this has actually had effects in North Carolina and many other states that have had a huge influx of illegal aliens and immigrants going into those areas. And they're predominantly starting to vote left because that's where the handouts are. And they want to make sure that they get the benefit of, you know, all of the good entitlements that they can receive from the state and from the federal government. Another issue that came forth just yesterday, I believe, is the Fourth Circuit Court. Yeah, this was yesterday. In the appeals in Richmond, Virginia, reversed a decision by a smaller panel of judges from a court's ruling last year that called into question the constitutionality of Maryland's ban on assault rifles. So a court is now dictating whether a city or a state can violate your constitutional rights. And I know I'm on the Second Amendment Rights Foundation radio, and I know there's lots of people that love the Second Amendment, but what Maryland has done and what small cities and states and other municipalities are doing, they're not violating the Second Amendment right. This is not a violation of the Second Amendment. This is a violation of the 14th Amendment, Section 1. No state shall pass any law that abridges the immunities and privileges of a citizen. So in other words, they can't create a law that is going to infringe upon your rights, whether that be the Second Amendment, your right of speech, and so forth. And so we actually have this legislation that is occurring where they're starting to allow states to infringe upon those 14th Amendment rights that we have, where the states can't oppress us. The reason we have this 14th Amendment is very clear, because after the Civil War, the freemen were being oppressed. And so they passed this 14th Amendment to ensure that the states could not pass laws to infringe on their rights of speech, assembly, right to bear arms, protect themselves, and those types of things. And so thus the 14th Amendment is codified and been ratified. And we can cover more of this current events as soon as we come back after the break. I can't believe time flies so fast. Anyway, stay tuned and we'll be right back. Thank you. You will find consistent advice among financial advisors, conservative entertainers, preppers, and those who have legitimate concern about our currency and our government. They all recommend holding precious metals in some way and degree for varying reasons. I, too, recommend precious metals, especially holding it in your possession in a secure storage system for several reasons. One, it can protect you from the inflation of a fiat currency. Two, some coins can be used in bartering in an absolute emergency. And three, this is a good way to pass wealth down to your posterity. If you're looking to add precious metals to your portfolio or to your holdings, I would like to show you how you can get these metals for less than how I can get them. You heard that correct, for less than how I can get them. And I believe you cannot beat this price. Let me explain. My broker's company has, I believe, the lowest set price for all metals on the market. And just like all other precious metal companies, they offer commission to those who refer others, which most times this affects the bottom line price. Well, my broker's company does not adjust the price. They have a flat buy and selling price. And I have worked it out with my broker to take a portion of my commission to offer you a discount to let you save money on your purchases for slightly lower than the price, than the selling price that I get them for. It may be a slight discount, but a discount nonetheless. If you're interested in buying physical metals at the lowest price and learning more about this deal, contact me via email at metals with an S at the end at reclaimingtherepublic.org, and I will introduce you to my broker and he can give you the pricing and how you will actually pay less than me. Again, that's metals, M-E-T-A-L-S, at reclaimingtherepublic.org. All right, so thank you for hanging in there. You probably noticed that every time that music hits, I pause, and that's because I've got this very sensitive hearing and my musical background, and I'm going, oh, 10 minutes have flown by already. So anyway, let me get back to the constitutional look at some recent events. Other than Amnesty International and the Fourth Circuit Court making this ruling that is violating and allowing a state to violate the 14th Amendment, a federal judge on Tuesday in Texas also said that Texas can't remove funding for Planned Parenthood from the Medicaid and issuing a block on the state's ouster and forcing them to continue funding Planned Parenthood. If you understand the Constitution, and there's one other little thing, it's not really within the states, but South Africa also made a decision to withdraw from the ICC, which is the International Criminal Court system, and they were ruled by their own court system that says that that's unconstitutional and it's a violation. And I just find it interesting that even countries that are trying to back out of some of these international entanglements are finding that their own court systems, these progressive bastions, are forcing them to say, oh, you can't do that. And when we look at the Constitution, Article 3, Section 1 clearly states that the judicial power of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as Congress may see or may deem from time to time or ordain and establish. And so Congress is the one that has the power that basically regulates the court system. And so Congress literally was the one that told the judiciary exactly what they were going to be doing in the very first Judiciary Act of 1789, and then I think there was another one in 1790, 92. There's been a series of judiciary acts, and The second section, the judicial power shall extend to all cases in the law and equity arising under this Constitution. In other words, if there are issues such as marriage that is not within this Constitution, then it's not something that the federal court system is supposed to be able to hear about. If it is something regarding marijuana laws or a plethora of things, whether it be welfare, health care, all of those things, if it's not a part of the Constitution and or an actual ratified treaty, then the federal court system can't even hear it. They have no jurisdiction over it. And so one of the things that John Marshall did in 1800 was he self-aggrandized himself in allowing the federal court system in 1803 through judicial review, going down and grabbing a court out of the states or grabbing a case out of the states for review and making a ruling, and something that should have been outside of his purview, he basically aggrandized himself to say, well, we can do this. We can actually pull these things in from time to time. And judicial review was never granted to the federal court system. So why is this really important? And what is the constitutionality of this? Well, Trump has a majority in both houses in Congress. All he has to do is tell Congress, both at the Senate side and the House side, give me a bill that you both agree on that reels in the court, that takes away their ability for judiciary review and tie them to only reviewing matters and only having jurisdiction per the Constitution, no longer allowing them to hear cases that have anything to do with health care, have anything to do with welfare, anything to do with labor, anything to do with energy. All of those things are well outside the boundaries of the Constitution. Remember that 12 list of departments from justice all the way down to Homeland Security, or actually the Department of Interior was the first encroachment in 1849. But either way, all of those issues are outside the boundaries of the Constitution because the federal government was never delegated the power, responsibility, or authority to have any involvement in any of those roles, responsibilities, and powers. So Trump, all he's got to do is tell Congress, give me a Judiciary Act, let's sign this, and let's reel the court in. He can also start resizing and reshaping the court the way that would be beneficial for the Republic and get rid of this progressive bastion that is sitting in the court systems that has been legislating and regulating us to death. So if you're personal friends with Trump, give him a call and tell him to call me, or he can just call in at our toll-free number, which I have somewhere here. Either way, it is 844-320-4299. Well, so in Congress, if Congress does actually pull in this court system, we'll probably find that we'll be able to move forward as a republic far more efficiently and far more effectively with self-governing and self-rule, so that as the intentions of our founders actually intended us to be a self-governing people. One of the questions I had this past week was, why am I on KSBN other than the fact that there was a symbiotic opportunity for both KSBN and myself? And as I was kind of articulating this in a conversation with somebody, I believe that people that are very interested in their financial liberty and their financial wellness, they share those same values of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And I think there's this socioeconomic health that goes hand in hand with government, civics, and the importance of having those liberties on the governance and on the financial side. So financial health and your bottom line, how much you're making and how much you get to keep, has everything to do with governance and free markets. Currently, we're being taxed. I mean, the Tea Party, what their slogan came up from, taxed enough already. And I remember that started really in the 90s when taxes just started becoming insurmountable. And Adam Smith pointed out in The Wealth of Nations, that who is it that you blame? Do you blame the person that tries to skirt the laws because the taxation is so onerous that it overcomes a person's innate desire? Because innate within all of us, we have the desire to get ahead, to be able to improve our lot a little by little or what have you, that we need to be able to increase our quantity and quality of life, as well as for our children, our posterity. So he kind of goes down this little rant of, you know, who do you blame when all of a sudden you have a nation of people that are breaking the laws, that are trying to sell outside the government regulations or the black market? Well, if government becomes so onerous, he points the finger at government. Government should never be that onerous. I mean, there is a necessity to government. Government has to have some level of tax to be able to function, to be able to have its national security, to be able to do its functions that you've delegated to them to do. But when you've given them, or when they've basically taken the kitchen sink and everything else upon themselves, and while we're sleeping at the wheel saying, hey, how did they get these powers? It's not in the Constitution. And then there's this huge maze of logic that they try to follow that defies anybody that has any type of sense of logic. And in actuality, these are all usurpations. And we'll get to hopefully some Federalist Papers at the end of the show. If not, definitely next show, we'll get to some Federalist Papers. But bottom line, the best financial action one can take is in the voting booth and making sure that you're voting for things that are of sound government, not allowing government to dictate every little thing that they want to dictate. So what is at stake if one ignores these social economic issues and governance? Well, there's going to be this imbecilic justification for socialism and communism. And as we see this, we can actually see this playing out in our streets today and in the town hall meetings today. And as I hear the music again, it's time for another break. So I'll get into what else is happening and give you some more insights right after we get back. Thank you. So when we were going into the break, I was talking about these imbecilic justifications for socialism and communism and how these have been basically implemented here. One of those things is social justice. We've heard that, and that's a buzzword for the socialists and communists. Social justice is how they start creating demographic quotas and ends up literally driving fascism and literal oppression. Basically, sorry, you've had, if you're a white male, then you've had way too many opportunities throughout the history, so you have to suffer. And remember, our justice in our nation, in founded on our principles, is blind. So just remember that. And so there's this economic justice as well. And I saw this cartoon a while ago. It's a communist cartoon that kind of makes this argument that the white supremacy or the white people in this nation had a head start, that they have, you know, hundreds of years and they've got millions of dollars in their pockets and so forth. And they're basically creating this premise that everybody else is at a natural disadvantage in this country. And that could be the furthest thing from the truth. The truth is that if you look at every nation, sure, there is old money in every nation. People that have been established, that have created themselves a royalty bloodline or whatever. Every nation has that. But the one nation that actually has equal access and equal opportunity for education and everything that you would need, it is this nation. This is the one nation that can help you overcome any of those types of disadvantages, unlike Russia, unlike China, and so forth, because there are elite societies within these communist nations. And those who are elite have protected themselves, and that's why there is a huge abyss between them and the minions, and they have completely different lifestyles. Those Hollywood elitists that they have in China and Russia and Cuba, if they have such a thing in Cuba, I mean, they're so depressed. But if you look at each of those societies, there is the haves and everybody else has not. And everybody else is equally oppressed, that there are no different levels. And the reason we have levels here in this nation and why more people pop out of poverty and into the middle class in this nation than any other nation is because we have the equal access and equal opportunity and the individual liberty and sovereignty to do so. Where in other nations, they don't. They literally oppress people throughout the world. So if you've seen that video, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about, but they're trying to make this argument in context that because there's this perceived advantage of old money with one person, and you go to the East Coast and you find old money all the time, but how did Bill Gates get started? Supposedly he had no old money in his pocket to get him leverage moving forward. There's lots of people that have been able to go from rags to riches. As a matter of fact, throughout our history, the Rockefellers, Carnegie, and many people went literally from rags to riches. It's just that they had a good idea and they were able to innovate and dynamically innovate for the circumstances to basically take advantage of opportunities, not necessarily of other people, but of opportunities to get ahead. So anyway, there is a move afoot that is a part of this imbecilic justification of communism and so forth, that we have a class of, and Lenin, I'm going to use this term that Lenin used, he called them useful idiots. And these useful idiots were those who literally started this Bolshevik revolution because they were taught the concept that those people have it, you don't have it, and that's not fair because they have had this advantage all the time. The same old arguments are being regurgitated from then to now. And so the power brokers that are leading this communist revolution, they're the elitists that they want to be able to take more and more because they're the ones that are greedy. It's not the capitalists that believe in the free market and fail by the free market. They want to have a rigged market. And so these elitists are getting these kids in our education system because of the curriculum and teaching them communist ideologies. Well, they've also got this thing called the Indivisible Guide 2017. And I'm just saying this, Indivisible Guide 2017 is something you can Google and you can download this yourself. This Indivisible Guide is what they are using. And if you haven't heard in the news, there's these town hall meetings that are being disrupted by these constituents, supposedly, that are literally shouting down and not allowing these conservatives, Republicans in office, members of Congress, they're not allowing them to speak, answer questions, and what have you. And you've seen these shouting matches at campuses and so forth. And what they're trying to do is silence these people or getting them so frustrated that they make themselves look bad so that they have a better chance at the re-election to go after those seats. Well, so this is all an orchestrated plan. This isn't something that's dynamically happening. These people are being taught from this Indivisible Guide 2017. And this is an extension of the tactics that Saul Alinsky used in The Rules for Radicals. And that book itself, The Rules for Radicals, was required reading by activist school teachers. As a matter of fact, it was on the Department of Education's required reading list for teachers, so that they understood how to basically utilize your children as activists. So this book or this pamphlet is actually available online if you Google Invisible or Indivisible Guide, like One Nation Indivisible. So it's Indivisible Guide 2017. And you can go to indivisibleguide.com and be able to access and find that book there. I'll just say this. There's lots of cliches and adages that one can come up with. One is that Edmund Burke has been repeated many times, all's evil needs to do to succeed is for good men to do nothing. Or united we stand, divided we fall. There's all sorts of great adages that really apply that what we need to be doing is pulling together and getting organized, getting informed, getting involved. So as you consider the investments that you're making, watching your 401k and watching your stock, your precious metals, commodities, whatever it is that you're investing in, if you're not doing something in your community and getting active and getting informed and getting involved, then all of your investments could be for naught. Because if things get worse and the socialists gain control and Trump does not shut down and close some of these portals like the court system and some of these other things that he could actually shut down and close. And if the states don't rally up and take back the rightful powers that are theirs, that the federal government has usurped, then there's a good chance that all of us and our investments and our wealth and property can be taken. What happens if all of a sudden we continue to rack up debt and we get to a point where we can't even service our debt? Who forecloses on us? Who takes us into conservatorship? Who will be the ones that dictate who gets what? And they can easily discard the Constitution at that point, and they will discard the Constitution, and that has been their intent. And as a matter of fact, if you read Washington's farewell address, he warns the nation that there are evil people that are very jealous of our liberties here, and that they will do anything and everything they can to shut this nation down. And they've been working at it for a long time. And I will just tell you that the insights that the Lord gave those framers in creating such a system that was so hard to penetrate and permeate their corruption into it, that it's taken over 200 years to get to this point. Folks, we don't have to let it literally go off the edge. We have an opportunity, and the most important thing is, and I can't say this enough, you have to start getting informed and getting involved. How can you get involved? You can find local groups and organizations to join and get good books like mine. More importantly, read our founding documents, because those are the documents that I cite in my books. And what are the founding documents? Well, if you want to start with the Declaration of Independence, or actually you can go back and further and start with the Magna Carta, the Glorious Revolution, and the first Bill of Rights that came out of the 1689 conclusion of that revolution, our Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, the Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance, the Federalist Papers, the ratification debates, the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions, and I also include the Madison veto of the bonus bill. And most of these I'm going to go through, most of these, that literally tie and create the academic argument that the states have all the powers of oversight over the federal government. And so we're going into the last break for this hour, and I can't believe how fast time flies. But if you stay tuned, we'll get right back, and hopefully I can get through how you can get involved in your local communities. Thank you. So my producer pointed out, PC, he said, why don't you post the link on your website as well for the podcast for this Indivisible Guide 2017? So I will post that link as well on my website tonight. If you're interested, and why should you be interested? Because it exposes their plans and tactics, and knowledge is power. So I can't emphasize this more, folks. If you understand what the enemy is doing, then you won't be surprised, and you can plan for it, and you can actually be ready for it. That way you can marginalize and even silence the opposition by understanding what they're doing and being able to address it immediately as they start their tactics, because radicals will show up. I know that there's going to be Lincoln Day dinners coming up throughout the state, and there's going to be other fundraisers, town hall meetings, and so forth. And guess what? There's going to be radicals that are going to try to silence and or embarrass our members of Congress and our conservative leadership and so forth. So anyway, let me get back to how we can get involved. Some of the ways that you can get involved is by finding some of these local groups, other than reading and becoming informed that way. You can get educated by listening to this show. You can get educated and start learning through your social sphere of starting to attend some either Tea Party, Libertarian, Republicans. As a matter of fact, there's a very large footprint of Republicans in this area, and all of them are very conservative. You find, well, I should say all of them. There may be some that may be a little bit to the left, but that's okay as they start to become equally informed. As a matter of fact, most people, and I've said this at the very beginning of the show, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. All of these people are reasonable. They just may not be equally informed. So getting the word out, one of the things we want to do is start teaching people the constitutional principles. And by doing that, we're training trainers, because then you can start sharing these constitutional principles and letting people read these source documents for themselves. Other ways you can get involved is if you don't have time to go to all these meetings, if you don't have time because there's a lot of competition in your life, I get it. There's other ways that you can support. Let's say you have a nice home or you have a business and you have an ability to house or host meetings, then you can share your resources, because this is what the framers did, folks. They shared resources and they pooled together so that everybody could start coalescing and uniting on these principles in creating a ground movement, which literally called it the revolution. But we don't need to have a revolution. All we have to do is stand up as states and take our powers back. We're the parents in this relationship. In my book, I constantly point out that the states are the parents. The general government or the federal government is the child. The states created that. And the states delegated only so many powers to it. And those powers are enumerated in Article 1, Section 8. And so other ways that you can get involved is you can support the logistics. Let's say you have computers you're upgrading you don't need. Donate the computers. If you have spare vehicles that you don't need, then donate those so that those resources can go to a worthy cause in helping build up and bolstering and supporting these very conservative movements. There's also funding. It's easy. If you can't support it with time and your own efforts, then by all means, there's all sorts of good things to fund. The show is one thing you can fund if you haven't heard, but there's also other things. Tom Fitton and the Judicial Watch is an awesome organization. I actually donate to them. There's plenty of good organizations that are doing very good things for us and to protecting our liberties. And these are just some of the ways that we can all start contributing. Keep in mind, progressives or the liberals and their agenda is a very old version of slavery, and it dates all the way back to Plato. And that slavery isn't to a single slave master in a regional area. It is slavery to the state. And they've innovated it to a global proportion. And the direction that they're trying to take us is to enslave us to the state, where the state will dictate who does what, who can marry who can work where, and so forth. And believe me, the state really believes that they can make the best decisions, and there's lots of progressives that believe that the state will make the best decisions for you. Just so you understand this, modern day communism started in France. It didn't start in Germany with Marx and Engels' book, The Communist Manifesto. This regurgitation of Platoism actually started in the late 1700s, and that's what bore fruit of the French Revolution. It came from what they called the communes in France. And these people were collectivists that were trying to make a state literally a self-providing state that all people would be equal. These communes created the revolution, but they didn't get the outcome because what they ended up getting was a despot called Napoleon. So the communist revolution really didn't take hold until the Communist Manifesto was kind of written to, so everybody understood what they needed to do. And then when Lenin finally moved forward, because the truth is, Bismarck in Germany, 20, 30 years before Lenin, he actually tried to move Germany into a communist socialistic state. They had social security and all those types of things that the state would actually dictate, and they failed because they went bankrupt, which literally drove them into World War I, which literally drove them into World War II. And so those are the fruits of statism, because the state will always go bankrupt because they can't quench the desires of all the people. And what ends up happening is you constantly go back and forth in swinging from anarchy to tyranny, anarchy to tyranny. And the framers understood this. What they had to do, and I think what the Soviet Union was able to do, was to create such a dominance in force and police that's how they controlled people. And that's why communism, and not necessarily the lighter version of socialism in Germany under Bismarck, was more successful and ran a longer course. But look at all the people that died under Stalin, 6 million from starving. Millions of people died, and countless people suffered from the oppressions of the government and the state. We don't want that to happen here. And the best investment we can do is start getting informed and getting involved. So with what little time I have left, I'm actually going to go get into a founding document. And since I'm looking at the clock, I got a couple of minutes. And one of the first things I'm going to go into are the Federalist Papers. And the reason I'm doing this is because the Federalist Papers actually prove the thesis on the Constitution that it is a contract, and it is a limited and defined contract. And so as I go through these things, and in the near future, as next show and so forth, I want you to consider this, that these words of these founding documents, they clearly documented the intent of the Constitution. So I ask you this, was Madison, Hamilton, and Jay in the Federalist Papers, and the people that were testifying in the ratification debates and so forth, were these people using words to deceive people, to give the federal government unlimited power, or were these words actually founded on the real intents? And I'm going to prove that it was founded on the real intent of a limited and defined federal government. But the question is, well, if it is literally defined and limited, then all these things we're learning from the progressive education system and from the progressives that ensconce this progressive agenda, those are the words of deceit. That the federal government isn't supreme in all things. When Madison said the federal government is only supreme in the things that were delegated to it through the enumerated powers, then that's all that it was supreme in. And allowing it to be supreme in all things, we are only surrendering our liberty, and we can easily and quickly just stand up and take that liberty back, and we'll get into how to do that as we move forward. I've got barely a minute left, so I don't have enough time to start the first Federalist paper, but let me just give you the list of documents that you want to read and be apprised in: the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, the Constitutional Convention debates, Madison's notes, and if you don't have them, you can contact me and I'll send you a link to where you can get these in a PDF format. The Northwest Ordinance of 1787, the ratification debates of each state, the Federalist Papers, the debates in Congress from the Annals of Congress, Registry of Debates, and the Congressional Globe. I'm out of here, and I hope to have you tune in next week, and we will dig into the Federalist Papers. Good luck, and goodbye.